I've got an unusual title for you today. I want us to talk about the fear of Christmas. The fear of Christmas. Now, at Christmas, we talk about peace and joy and goodwill, don't we? But not today. We're going to talk about fear. Now, I'm not going to talk about some friends we used to have. Me and Pauline, when we met them as it was coming up to Christmas. And the guy said to me, he says, "Oh, we're terrified of Christmas in our house. Something bad always happens. We either always lose somebody or we nearly lose somebody." He was talking about death, of course. And there are people out there that do have a fear of Christmas and see it as a bad thing. And of course, a lot of that is down to the time of year that we celebrate Christmas. I mean, yesterday we went to an NHS carol service in Leeds. It was really well done. It was excellent. And we had a great time. But Pauline nudged me and she said, "Oh, we're going to sing your favourite carol." Now, you know, when Pauline says we're going to sing your favourite carol, that it isn't actually a carol that I like, don't you? You do get that, don't you? So we sang In the Bleak Midwinter. Thank you. I couldn't even remember the name of the carol. I blanked it out of my mind, so it's so painful. I mean, the truth is, this, what we sing about at Christmas, happened in the Middle East. Now, have you ever seen snow in the Middle East? Deep snow, snow upon snow, as one verse goes. Come on, let's be reality. There was no snow that Christmas. But I am going to suggest to you there was maybe some fear. And I think just as we have fears, like it's flu season. And the truth is, we don't really know quite why, but flu can trigger other diseases inside people. And it's not that you've got it off the flu or something, it's just that it's a trigger. And, you know, the truth is about 60% of childhood cancers are diagnosed between November and January. And, you know, 60% in 3 months. Why is that? Well, we don't really know, but we do know these things happen when stuff is going round. There are more pneumonias when it's cold. You know, it's just a reality. And so the fears that sometimes we experience about Christmas are actually just to do with the time of year rather than the fact it's Christmas. In Australia, they're all sunning themselves on Bondi Beach and they're barbecuing the massive great prawns they have out there. You know, it's just a different reality when you're warm. Now, I want particularly to start to look at Joseph's fear. This is a really remarkable story, the story of Joseph. You see, Joseph, it says, was a righteous man. Now, what does that mean in the context of Matthew's gospel? I'll tell you what it means. It means he followed the Jewish law. He followed the Jewish law. If the Jewish law said you do this, he did it. He was a good guy. He did what he was supposed to do. And we don't really know how old he was. We've a good reason to suppose that Mary was between 12 and 16, probably nearer 16. And that Joseph was probably a couple of years older. Some people will tell you he was an old man and Mary was his second marriage, but there's absolutely no evidence for that. Joseph was probably of Mary's generation. And they only knew what they knew. They grew up in the closed community of Nazareth. It was just a place, a village, where families grew up closely together. And Joseph knew that he and Mary had been promised to each other. And they were going to have a proper marriage. And until then, she could not be seen alone with him, and vice versa. And when marriage took place in those days, you moved from your father's house to your husband's house. And at that point of removal, then all of your financial worries and cares were cared for by your husband. And that was what happened. And so Mary was still living at home with her father, and Joseph was at home living with his father and mother. And at this time, he discovers the most fearful thing. Mary is pregnant. Now, let me make it quite clear to you, they did know where babies came from. You know, we seem to think we only discovered that in the 1960s, but let me assure you, mankind has known where babies came from for centuries and centuries and millennia and millennia. And Mary and Joseph both knew where babies came from. And for this was a horrible, fearful shock for Joseph. Because in his understanding, it meant she had slept with a man. And that was not only a breach of the terms of the betrothal that had taken place, but it broke his heart because Mary was the girl he loved. And we know this because of the words the Bible uses about Joseph in Matthew's Gospel. He cared for Mary because he didn't want, he knew that the marriage could never be fulfilled, it needed to be terminated, and so he had to go through a divorce, which is what you had to do if you were betrothed to someone and they slept around and they were caught. And when Mary was pregnant, she was caught. At this point in time, Joseph does not know that this is a God thing that's taken place, because he knows where babies come from. And there's only been one instance in the millennia, one instance in history where God has done this dynamic thing with a virgin, and she gave birth. Joseph is doing the right thing. He's divorcing her. It's the right thing to do. But he doesn't want to do it publicly because he loves Mary. He doesn't want to break her. He doesn't want to see her ruined by life. Although for him, she has been ruined because she has slept with somebody else. Joseph is planning to go ahead with what the law tells him he should do. He's a righteous man. He's doing the right thing. But then he has an encounter with a spiritual being. An angel visits him. And the angel says, "Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. What has been conceived in her is holy." It's been conceived by the Holy Spirit. Because they haven't heard of Christmas. They haven't heard angels singing and carols and all of that. They know nothing about this. This is like a foreign language. What is conceived of her in her has been conceived by the Holy Spirit. Joseph's hearing this and he's thinking, "Am I mad? Is this me going crazy?" Joseph is fearful because he won't be able to take Mary as his wife. And so the angel says, "Fear not, take Mary as your wife." The angel tells him to do the very thing he's afraid of doing. And he does it. And the rest is history. And it's a good history. It's the history of salvation. It's the history of God's dealing with man. It's the history of forgiveness. It's the history of everything we need. And it's quite remarkable. What about Mary? Mary knows where babies come from as well. And she is visiting Elizabeth, her cousin, who is getting on a bit, who's a bit older. She's been married a long time and has never conceived. And all of a sudden, she's pregnant. And an angel then appears to Mary and says, "You are highly favoured. Fear not, you are highly favoured." What's Mary afraid of? Mary is afraid of losing all favour with her community. She's pregnant. How will life work out for her? The community will send her to Coventry, which is a long way from Nazareth. The community won't have anything to do with her. She will end up like the woman at the well that we read of in John chapter 4, who can only go to the well when it's midday and no one else is leaving the house, because otherwise they talk about her. You know that story? Mary doesn't want to be that woman. She will lose all favour. Her friends that she's grown up with will be talking about her. They will say things about Mary that nobody wants to hear about themselves. And in fact, there is some evidence that in the Gospels, there is some evidence that they were talking about Mary still and were suggesting that Jesus was born out of wedlock. It's actually quite a nasty thing, is gossip. It stays. And in small communities, it stays a long time. And it seems that the talk about Mary continued and continued on. But the angel says to her, "Fear not." You see, we would like to think of this wonderful scene, nativity scene, all carved out of wood and a couple of coloured lights and a bit of tinsel around it, that tells us that, oh, it was so holy for Mary and Joseph. It was so wonderful. Let me tell you, it was terrifying. It was absolutely terrifying for them. Joseph was terrified that he was going to end up without a wife, particularly as he'd become quite fond of this Mary. Mary was terrified that she was going to be the butt of every joke, that she was going to be ostracized by the family and the community. She was terrified that her life was as good as over. But angelic ministry comes to both of them. And to both of them, the message is, fear not. Fear not. You know what? That's a command. When God says, fear not, you better not fear. And we need to take that encouragement from time to time. Because from time to time, we get afraid. We become anxious. And God says to us today, whatever we are facing, whatever the trouble is, fear not. And if we will fear not, and if instead we will put our trust in him, it will work out. How did this work out? Well, angels appear to some shepherds, and they come bringing gifts, and then wise men from the east travel for months, and they come and meet Jesus, and they worship him. And Simeon and Anna at the temple, when Jesus goes to be circumcised when he's 8 days old, they have something to say about this new king. And in fact, The real king, Herod, he sends out soldiers to kill every baby in Nazareth because he is so terrified of losing his kingship to a new king. There's a lot of fear going around in that first Christmas, isn't there? But in all of these things, it works out for Mary and Joseph. It does work out. They end up having a house full of kids. They have James, Jude, Joseph, and we're not quite sure whether they had more sons, but they certainly had a couple of girls as well. A Miriam, we believe, and a Salome. You know, these were the family of Mary and Joseph. They ended up having a great family, but the first one was put there by God himself. Their prime job was to bring up the Son of God, and they did a very, very good job of that. And at the cross, Mary is there weeping. And Jesus at the cross says to his disciple, John, "John, she's your mum now, you look after her." And when on the third day, they go to the tomb and find the big stone, sort of a four-man job to roll that stone away. The stone is gone and the tomb is empty. And Mary's there crying. All she wants to do is anoint her son's dead body with perfumes and spices, which was the tradition. And Jesus comes up to her and speaks to her and comforts her. She is one of the first witnesses to the resurrection. She was with the rest of the disciples on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came down. And she was one of those first women who spoke in tongues. Mary's life turned out well. And in doing so, she brought into the world the Son of God. She brought into the world God with us, Emmanuel. She brought into the world one who would save us from our sin. But the pair of them had to overcome the fear of it. And that fear was a real, tangible fear, a fear that gripped them, a fear that nearly put them off. But what was Mary's response to that angel? She said to that angel, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord, the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be to me as you have said." That's an unusual way to get pregnant, but that's how it worked for Mary. She said to the angel, "Let it be to me according to what you've said." And it did happen, and she did conceive. And 9 months later, she gave birth to Jesus. And after that, Matthew 1 tells us, after that, Joseph slept with her for the first time. It's a weird experience. It's a very weird experience for God to do something like this with your girlfriend. But that was the experience of Joseph. That was the experience of Mary. And you can understand their fear. Their fear was real, but so was their God. Joseph was a righteous man. Mary, who also was of the line and lineage of David, this couple, they had been waiting in that sort of 100-year gap when this all happened. All of the Jews were expecting the Messiah to come. There is historical records that there was something going on and they were expecting God to turn up for them. But it was for Mary and Joseph that God turned up. And they had a baby that has changed our lives wonderfully and powerfully. And one who still says to us today, fear not. You know, you could have all sorts of things going on in your life. Some things I might never know, but God knows. And God wants to say to you today the same thing he said to them this Christmas. And it's simply this: fear not. Some years ago, I think, I can't remember if Arielle had just been born or it was the Christmas before she was born, but it was round about that time. I was out of work, and we had nothing. We had nothing. And one morning, Pauline woke me up. She said, Stephen, I've just remembered something. Months ago, we asked so-and-so to come and have Christmas dinner with us. And I said to her, oh, good grief, we haven't got anything. And so we prayed, and the phone rang. And I answered the phone. In those days, I had a phone next to the bed. Do you remember those phones with wires on? It's a joke, isn't it? Who can believe we ever had phones with wires on? And it was someone saying, Stephen, can you help us out? We've really messed up. What's gone wrong? Well, we ordered a £20 turkey. And someone's just turned up and given us another one. It's another £20 turkey. We can't eat two £20 turkeys. Have you got a turkey? Well, actually, we haven't got ours yet. I was telling the truth. And she said to me, well, would you mind taking one off our hands? Oh, thank you. Thank you. So we had a turkey. Christmas Eve came. I'd got £1. And when I say I'd got £1, that was when I'd been through all my pockets and checked for change. Some of you have done that, and you know how difficult it is. But I had £1, and I went to the supermarket just as it was closing on Christmas Eve, and I got sprouts, I got carrots, I got potatoes. I got everything you need to go with the turkey to make a fantastic Christmas dinner, and I did it for £1. And do you know what? I came home with change. Now, we were fearful that year that we were not going to have anything to present to this couple that we had invited for Christmas dinner. But you know, that year, I still say, I think we had the best Christmas dinner we have ever had. Yeah. It was absolutely tremendous. Because you see, God just wants to say to you, fear not. He's very good at multiplication, is God. Very good indeed. So today, let me say this to you. This Christmas, let's not allow fear to grab hold of us. Whatever you are facing, don't let fear grab hold of you. But instead, grab hold of Jesus. Grab hold of Jesus. He is the one. And above anything else this Christmas, let's not just be going goo-ga-ga at a baby in a nativity set. But let's remember, this is the God who came to save us. God with us. God in flesh. God who came to know us. John 1:14 in the Message says, the Word took on flesh and blood and moved into the neighbourhood. God moved into where you live. God moved down your street. God still is with us. And we thank God for that. Would you pray with me? Father, we ask you this Christmas that we might all know powerfully and wonderfully the fear not of God. We ask you to take away anxiety. We ask you to take away all pain and fear and trouble. And we ask you to help us all to enjoy the time where we remember you. And Lord, if all we can do this Christmas is get down on our knees and say, Jesus, thank you for coming. Father God, thank you for sending your Son. Holy Spirit, thank you for revealing Jesus to me. If that's all you can do this Christmas, then let me tell you, your Christmas will be good. Father, we thank you for feasting and frivolity, but we recognise that thank yous and gratitude are what really matter. Lord, we want to say thank you to you now. We want to show our gratitude to you. Thank you, Jesus, for loving us, for caring for us, and for doing so much for us. And now, Lord, I just pray that Christmas will come for each one of us, and that we might know the joy and peace of the Saviour who sends us his word saying, fear not, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you.